Carpe diem, lads. Seize the day. Make your lives extraordinary. These are the words new teacher John Keaton speaks to his English literature students at Vermont's exclusive Welton Academy in 1959. The words come to life in the movie Dead Poets Society. Welton Academy, a private college prep school for boys, is known for grinding out future lawyers, doctors, and scientists. The faculty and administration falling numbing by the book approach to education. But one voice stands out among the school's rigid faculty. It belongs to Professor Keaton, a Welton alumnus who has returned to the academy to teach English. Keaton uses unorthodox teaching methods and devotes himself to teaching more than just his subject matter, which is poetry. His goal is to inspire students to suck the bone of life to the marrow, to seize the day, and make their lives extraordinary. In Keaton's class, you learn lessons about passion and courage, as well as poetry. You pass if you avoid conformity and think for yourself. You fail if you neglect to live life to the fullest. Students are challenged to dream and then act on their dreams. 'Tis only in their dreams that men truly be free. 'Twas only thus and always thus will be. Keaton. Dead Poets Society reminds us to seize and cherish each day dearly. Every day, opportunities await us, and we must decide whether to take the chance or merrily play it safe. The Bible also encourages us to seize the moment when we have the opportunity. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom." Someone once said, "It's better to try and fail than to have tried nothing at all and succeeded." How true! We dread the thought of failure, but worse than trying and failing is not trying at all. Jesus once told a parable of a man who was afraid to seize the moment while he had opportunity. It's a simple story, but it has incredible implication for all of us. Turn with me to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will but be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside in the darkness, where there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth." What did the third servant do that was so wrong? He didn't steal the master's money. He didn't spend it foolishly. He didn't loan it out and lose it. He didn't put it in a risky investment and lose it. He kept every penny of it. So what did he do that was so wrong? He did nothing. He was given an opportunity to do something, and he did nothing. Believe it or not, that is a sin. James 4:17 states, "Anyone then who knows the God he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." What is God's message to us in this parable? Simply this: we must seize the moment while we have the opportunity. What were the difference between the good and the faithful servants and the wicked and lazy servants? Should we take a chance or play it safe? Successful life involves risk. You have to take chances In my brother's room is a sign that reads, "To make a shot, you must take a shot." Another picture is a baseball player sliding safely into second base. The caption reads, "Opportunity." Opportunity always involves some risk. You can't steal second base without keeping your foot on first. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, wise King Solomon put it this way. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets." There will always be lions just outside the door, and there will always be excuses for being lazy and not stepping out in the faith and taking a chance. The good and faithful servant took chances, while the lazy servant played it safe, and it cost him dearly. Should we take advantage of opportunities or make excuses? When confronted with his lazy inaction, the wicked servant attempted to lay blame at the feet of the master. "Master, I knew that you were a hard man." Notice the good and faithful servants didn't say that. They simply took advantage of the opportunities given to them. We all have certain limitations in life that cannot be changed. I'm 5'9" tall, and most likely, I would not be 6'6" tall. That's what I have to work with, and it would not change. We cannot change our parents, our upbringing, or our past mistakes. We cannot change another person without his or her permission. We cannot change the aging process. We cannot eliminate death. Some people spend their entire lives running away from these things that challenge them. That's what the lazy servant did. He had less than the other servants, but he still had enough to do something productive. Instead, he did nothing. I wonder how often this happens to us. The challenge for us is to not make excuses about opportunities we don't have, but take advantage of the opportunities we do have. Should we act quickly and get results, or procrastinate and get nothing? Perhaps the lazy servant was trying to get up the nerve to act, but his master came back before he was ready. Never put off into tomorrow what you could and should do today. Seize the moment while you have opportunity. Lou Albuscaglia was a popular professor and author. He often assigned a paper in which his students responded to this question. If you only had 5 days to live, how would you spend those 5 days? And with whom? It's a great question to clarify our priorities, isn't it? Students would give the anticipated answers. I'd spend every spare moment with my family and make sure they know how much I love them. I'd see all my friends and thank them for their companionship. I'd see every sunrise and every sunset. I'd write letters and leave them for everyone important in my life. The students would turn in their papers, and when they got them back, written on them was a note from Dr. Buscaglia. "Why don't you do these things now?" If you have something you need to be doing, seize the moment. To borrow from the well-known Nike ads, just do it, and do it now while you have the opportunity. Just seize the moment. Rudy Rudiger was a young man who had a dream and acted on it, seizing the moment against all odds and in face of enormous criticism. A movie simply titled Rudy was made about his experience. Rudy was one of the 14 children growing up in his family in a small town in Illinois. His dream was to attend Notre Dame and play football for the Fighting Irish, but Rudy was only 5'6" tall, and he graduated third from the bottom in his class. Rudy went into the Navy for a short time, and then spent 4 years working in a power plant. Despite a good job with benefits, Rudy still wanted to play football for Notre Dame. Of course, it was a one in a million go, and his family and friends repeatedly told him so, but he quit his job and moved to South Bend, Indiana. Obstacle after obstacle was in his path, but Rudy was determined, at least, to give his best effort. He was refused admission to Notre Dame because of his poor high school transcript. The admissions counselor told him if he attended nearby Holy Cross Junior College and made straight A's for 4 semesters in a row, he would be admitted to Notre Dame. Although he had never made better than a C in high school and was discovered to be dyslexic, he had made the necessary grades. But of course, being a student at Notre Dame and playing on the Irish football team was two different things. At 5'6" tall and 190 pounds, Rudy just wanted to make the practice team, even if he never dressed out a single game. The coaches discouraged him from trying out for the squad and told him he would never play in a game. But Rudy wouldn't give up his dream. For 2 years, Rudy worked out with one of the greatest teams in college football history, serving mostly as a punching bag for the bigger, faster, more talented varsity players. On Saturday, he watched the game from the stands like any other fan. In the last home game of his senior year, Rudy was allowed to dress out with the team. His hard work, enthusiasm, and never give up spirit caused him to be something of a hero among the players, students, and fans. Near the end of the game, with Notre Dame leading, the players and fans began chanting Rudy. Coach Dan Devine sent Rudy into the game with 27 seconds left to play. On the last play of the game, Rudy sacked the Georgia Tech quarterback. The Irish players lifted Rudy to their shoulders and carried him off the field. In the history of Notre Dame football, no player has been carried off the field on the shoulders of other players except Rudy. Rudy's dreams didn't end with a 27-second college football career. He sold Hollywood his story, and he now makes a healthy income writing and speaking to sales organizations and youth groups. Rudy Rudiger is an excellent example of what can happen when a motivated person seizes the moment and seeks to make his or her life extraordinary. As Christians, we should do the same. Every chance we have every day, we should spread God's word and follow his commands, and let us all seize the day for our Lord. If there is any way that we can help you make your life right with God, please come forward as we stand and sing.